I hope this talk lives up to something. All right. I wanted to just say that I actually wrote this talk for Father's Day, and Sosan and I both had written a talk that day, and so she had a talk that was beautifully presented for Father's Day, and mine was not on Father's Day at all. I totally had forgotten. So, I've been sitting with this talk for a while. Before I get started, we have a practice here where we acknowledge where we are. And I'm just learning how to do that, but I'd like to open this talk by saying, let us remember where we are sitting today on the earth. There's a very ancient history, and it has been here, and just today, we're all here today, which is a special occasion, and because you're here. And so just remembering the vast history and support that this land gives us. And also remembering that everybody here has a history, who comes here with their own personal struggles, and we want to honor that in each of us. And I would like to also recognize our ancestors, and especially those who have passed on this teaching from generation to generation to generation. And what a gift that is. And really what just sitting here, being here, is an amazing expression of generosity by countless people and living beings. So I wanted to talk about generosity. So my talk is about the importance of generosity. It's kind of like life, right? Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're not. All right. So I was reading Norm's book. Remember Norm came here a couple weeks ago and talked about his book? I wasn't actually here, but... Okay, so I wanted to start by reading a quote that was in his chapter on generosity from that book. And I kind of paraphrased it a little bit. To practice generosity is to appreciate the natural abundance of being, the inherent generosity of time and space, and the ongoing unfolding of life. These are very precious gifts. Life itself is generous. Life is always making more life. Life is abundant and expansive, never stingy or small-minded. And I just want to say again, your being is an expression of generosity. None of us would be here without the generosity of countless beings. And we are always giving and receiving all day, every day of our life, just even our breath. Giving and receiving. So I wanted to talk a little bit and about some things I've learned about generosity and how to practice with it. So it's not just I should give, but some things to think about while you are giving to make it so a little more meaningful and also to make it a little more fruitful as a place of practice. So when we rely on our thinking mind, existence is very, very small. We are aware in our minds, are constantly evaluating what we don't have, what we need to get next. This is kind of the function of our mind. It's how we survived, what we need to look for, what we need to stay away from. And when we live from that place, what we're aware of is the scarcity of our existence. Our life becomes very fragile because there are all these things we don't have and that we need. And we have a tendency to live out of that place. And when we see, when we're constantly seeing what we don't have, then generosity is very difficult for us. And we don't actually think about it, and we don't value what we are already being generous with. And I notice for myself, and what I hear people talking a lot about is from this place of scarcity, great anxiety and fear arises, which makes generosity even harder to participate in. So it was interesting to me when Femi was here talking. He came out, and I was out in the community room, and we were talking about generosity, and he reminded me, he said, when Buddha went to a new village, the first thing he did was to teach about generosity. And when he felt that people were established in the practice.
There might be a problem with the board itself.
Okay.
Not necessarily with my.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. But let me just breathe for a second. Anyway, I was talking about how the first thing the Buddha taught when he went to a new village was generosity. And you have to ask the question, why was that? Why would generosity be the first thing? And I believe it's because it establishes us in our stability. When we become aware of how much generosity is given to us and we rejoice or have joy in giving to others, we start to feel a kind of a safety net, that we are in this ebb and flow of exchange of ideas, of things, of life, actually. And when we feel that, then we can start to develop some of the other practices. I know I listened to Kadagiri Roshi went down for a 7-day session down to Hokkyoji, and he did the 4 gifts of the Bodhisattva: generosity, patience, identity action, and fearlessness. And of course, what I wanted to hear was fearlessness. What was that about? I want to get into that. And it was kind of funny because I was on a road trip, and the first was on generosity. The second was generosity. The third day was generosity. And the fourth day, as if there's that much, like, come on, generosity. And really, he spent like the last day 20 minutes, fearlessness. And that struck me, though, that he would spend that much time on generosity, that he would have that much to say about it, that he would know it that deeply, that he could talk about generosity for 5 full days. And they weren't the short talks. They were the long talks. After generosity, the Buddha taught ethics. And after ethics, then calming the mind. So That was a little bit of a surprise. But when we practice generosity, we open our eyes to the beauty and love of life that exists. It develops our empathy for other human beings and the earth itself. So I'm going to talk about the meaning of, I want to talk a little bit about the underpinnings of generosity, and I hope that you take this with you as a way to practice with it. So the word we often hear is dana, like we call it the dana bowl. And actually, the word dana, when it gets transcribed, means both the gift and the act of giving. The virtue of giving. So it's both the activity and the gift itself, which is a little different because for me that kind of points out how dana talks about the heart. That like yesterday or the last week, we've been cleaning out our basement and I took some things to the Goodwill. And I gave what I thought was nice stuff to the Goodwill. But I would not call that generosity. I was emptying out my basement, right? Generosity really is a function of the heart. So you want, it's about a connection that we have with another human being. So when my sister died this spring, one of the members here sent me an orchid, and it said on it, "This is in place of a hug until I see you and I can hug you." Now, I didn't think, oh, you know what would make me feel really better is to get a flower. But I have to say that flower has been like getting a hug all day, every day, since I received it. And I feel a connection to the person, the gift, and my own grieving through that gift. So I think that's the difference I wanted to point out in dana. But there's also another word that the Buddha used about generosity, and it was kaga, which I have never heard before. I can tell by Sosan's expression she hasn't either. And kaga actually can get translated as giving, or generosity, and it also gets translated as renunciation or relinquishment. So this tells us that giving or generosity has something to do with letting go. And not just letting go of the object like I did at the Goodwill, but letting go of something deeper. And I like to think about it as letting go of our clinginess, our stingy mind, our stingy heart. And I think this is why generosity was a big practice for me, was because I think I have a lot of fear around letting go, a lot of fear around there might not be enough, and I might need this someday. And so to practice with that, when you give from the heart and you give with renunciation and relinquishment, you feel that tug, a little tug is present. So I had this story, and I've mentioned this several times. So when I was listening to Pema Chodron talk about the Bodhisattva path, or Bodhisattva way, Shantideva, she tells a story about how important giving is. And she said, and you give every time you can. And she said, and for example, if you really can't open up to giving, you start with the wish that you could give it away. Just start with that. And so she talks about the sweater. Like, say, for example, you have this beautiful sweater and you have a friend who just loves the sweater, and you could have a wish that you could give that sweater to them even though you don't. And even that is the practice of giving, of generosity. And I thought, yeah, sometimes you have to start, you know, right at the very beginning. And I thought, but, you know, really a sweater? I was a little like, just give it away. But it was really kind of funny because not too long after that, I actually was in a situation where I was asked to, I knew there was something I had to give. And I wanted to give it, but I couldn't find my way to doing it. It was just like, you know, a week later, of course. And I thought, oh, but I can wish that someday I will have the capacity to be that generous. Mine was just money. I'm just going to say, because you're probably wondering. I just had a chance to give somebody some money that would make a difference. And I just couldn't find my way to do that at that time. So in Shantideva, so I was reading Shantideva before the talk, and this is a line I want to say because we often think of it as an expression of our heart-opening generosity, but actually at the end of today I hope you see that it's actually a mental thing. So Shantideva says, the completion of the perfection of giving, so the bodhisattva, completion of the virtue of generosity is said to be the thought of wishing to give everything to all living beings, that all beings be nourished. Then he says, therefore, it depends on the mind. The wish that of giving everything to all living beings, that all beings be nourished. If you can do that, that is the perfection of generosity. What that comes makes you come to come face to face with, or what I noticed is, when I heard that story about the sweater, I was focused on the sweater, just and the whether you could give the sweater away or not. But really, it's about the clutching of our minds, our mind, the way our mind has a way of sticking and clutching and wanting. And it's natural. It's who we are as human beings. It's not bad or good. It's just part of our nature. So when we work with generosity, we work with learning how that works. So the third meaning of generosity that I want to talk about is gratitude. So I'm used to working with gratitude as actually gratitude, cultivating gratitude is a way of being happy. That's kind of the way the teachings talk about it. But gratitude is also connected to generosity. So the Buddha says, the rare and precious are those who are grateful. Show me a grateful person and I will show you a generous one. So that's an interesting connection between generosity is developing our capacity to be grateful and vice versa. So when Reb was here, I told him this story. When we were traveling in Turkey, we were visiting the city of Ephesus, which is an ancient city at the time of Jesus. And next to the marketplace, there was this really small stone patio, about as big as this open area right here. And in the center was a metal ring. And our tour guide took us there, and I said, well, what is that metal ring for? And he said, well, that's where they tied the goat when they did a sacrifice for a feast day. And he said, and what would have been over here is a wooden hut, some kind of a hut. And that would be the owner who was donating or giving the goat for the feast. And he would live in that hut and take care of the goat. He would clean it, he would feed it, he would walk it, he would take care of it, he would sit next to it. And when the priest saw that he had fallen in love with the goat and established a loving connection, then he was ready to sacrifice the goat. And that changed my whole idea about what sacrificing meant. And I bring that up because generosity has a sacred quality to it. It is a sacred act. So the benefits of generosity, this is just kind of out of the textbook, is to ease discomfort, to free others of discomfort, either in the present or in the future, with our words, our actions, material goods, to remove suffering and add more ease in the world. The second is to free ourselves. To free ourselves, each act of giving is an act of letting go. And each act of letting go opens our heart just a little bit more of adds ease into our life. Letting go also exposes the places of clinging when we can't let go. And when we let go of everything, all that is left is love. I pondered that one for a long time. And then I would just like to add, as it turns out, this is where the fearlessness comes in. When we are generous, when we have cultivated the generosity in our life, we give the gift of fearlessness. I had always thought the gift of the Bodhisattva, the fearlessness was my fearlessness. But the fearlessness is that people who practice generosity then allows people to be fearless. And that's really what I was waiting so long to hear Katagiri say, was practicing generosity then cultivates a fearlessness in all beings, which I have to say we could use a little more of today. So I want to share with you, when I was at Insight Meditation practicing, there was a talk that was given by a nun from Burma who clearly generosity was her core practice. And she gave this amazing talk about generosity, and I took notes, and I want to share with you some of those notes. And I just want to say her practice was all around food. So she cooked for people. So all the stories were about how she experienced generosity in cooking for various people. But one of the first things you want to do is practice gratitude. And so you can practice it by just noticing the air you breathe, noticing the water you drink, noticing the beautiful sunset, noticing the song of the bird. And just can you let that in? Because generosity is an act of giving and receiving. So learning to receive that cultivates a wish for generosity. As you let in all this amazingness that is constantly receiving, you just naturally want to start to give. I put on here the wagging of our dog's tail. our dog wags his tail, and it just makes me fill up with love. So here's another part of the practice, to share what is given to you. So when you are given something, to think about how you might share the gift that was given you. How do you pass part of it on? So there's a story by Mother Teresa where she worked with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, I think it was, where she lived. And she tells this story about how there was a famine and people were starving. And she had heard of this one family with 14 kids. And they hadn't had anything to eat for days. So she pulled all her strings and got some rice. And even though it wasn't very much, she went down to the family and said, "I'm so sorry, this isn't very much, but this is what, this is what I have today." And before she got any further, the woman said, "Just a minute." And she took half, though all her children were starving, she took half of the amount. And she went over to her neighbor's house. Now, she was Hindu, and she went over to her neighbor's house, who was Muslim, who had 8 kids, because she knew they hadn't eaten either. And she shared that with them. And it struck Mother Teresa how courageous that was, when you're starving, to be able to take half of that and to share it with her neighbor. So she says, stinginess is a mark on our heart. If your practice is opening up to the great heart of wisdom and compassion, every time you close off your heart, you're limiting your capacity to experience liberation. And also, I can't stress enough how important it is to receive, to let it in when you get it, to let it in and be thankful and share that gratitude with the person who's giving it to you. Another aspect was letting go of the pride around giving. So sometimes we give things and we get kind of puffed up because we worked at it, right? I worked at it. But I'm going to give it anyway. And then you kind of defeat your purpose if you get caught up in your pride. This isn't the same as enjoying the goodness and the joy of giving. It's different than that. And I think you guys know the difference. The other thing that she recommended is that we pay attention to the benefits of generosity. So follow the cause and effect and the deep implication of giving away. So sometimes we give away and, oh, that felt really good, but we really didn't apply our insight or apply our deep attention to what actually happens through the process of the giving. Like, what happens before? What are you feeling before you give something away? Where is it that you're getting kind of stuck? What are you noticing? Are you getting stuck in the process of giving it away? Because that tells you something about your mind and your practice and where you want to focus your attention. Pay attention how you feel about the clinging. Are you judgmental and critical about it? Are you generous with it? Can you be generous with your clinging? Sometimes we give something and we think it's really important, and the person receives it and says, "Thanks." Actually, I have this story about my daughter like that. I'm not going to share it. But sometimes, at great cost and expense to you and effort, you put something out there and meh. So in order for it to be actually generosity, that has to be a complete, the giver, gift, and receiver have to kind of come together on it. So when I gave the clothes and things to Goodwill, it was not a very sad, it's not like I'm, you know, they just kind of put it in a box and you drive off. So there's no real sense of connection there. And sometimes you can give something very, very small. Like sometimes I was telling Sam, I was sitting in Dokusan and people will tell me something I said that like I don't even remember saying, and how important that is in for them. They take it up and work with it. Now, and what a gift it is that they tell me that, you know, that for the amount of effort and deep wish I have for to liberate all beings, it's a gift that they think to mention it back to me. So you don't know, really, the impact of your gift. You may never know the impact of your gift, but sometimes you do. So to pay attention to that, because it will make your giving much more meaningful. I'm thinking of people who give advice that's not wanted. You know? And if you're paying attention and you give that advice, you learn something from that. You learn something about giving. And maybe next time you ask, would you like some advice? And they can tell you. So also afterwards, how are you feeling? So this is really mindful work, paying attention as a way of growing your heart and opening up. The other thing she said, which I thought was really interesting, is she said to practice unprompted generosity. To just, if you feel like saying something or doing something, just do it. Just do it for the joy of it. And notice that. And she said, responding to the moment takes a lot of mindfulness, a lot of attention. Like, what's being asked of us right now? What's being asked? And then responding. But, she said, that's very, very good, but it's not as good as practiced, prompted generosity. So the contemplation of generosity is even more beneficial than the unprompted. I think that's because we have to consider so many things. Consider who we are. Consider the gift. Consider how to do the giving, how to give the gift. So I think that's why she said that. But I thought that was pretty interesting. The other thing that she said that was interesting, she highly recommended not giving anonymously. Highly, highly, which is interesting. The reason being is that you short-circuit the gratitude process and the learning process. So having to receive the gratitude for your gift is really an important aspect of it. And how many times do you hear the words, oh, it was nothing? Stop doing that. Say thank you. Say thank you. You're welcome. Whatever. So those are like seven aspects I wanted to share with you about giving and generosity as a practice, as a way to enter the bodhisattva path. So the other thing that maybe the last thing is, and we've talked about it already, is the importance of how we receive a gift. That's an act of generosity. And so what they said, actually how we receive the gift is pretty much the same as how you want to give a gift. And so the qualities that were called out are to put your whole self into the act of giving. To pay total attention to who you are, to the gift, to the reception of the gift. To do it wholeheartedly. I'm going to add with no judgments. Like, you may think you're giving the best gift, and they receive it and they say, "Oh, that's nice." And that's, can that be okay? Can that be okay? The second thing is to give out of faith. To just have faith in giving. That it has a relevance, that it is very, very, very important. What you're doing is important work. Generosity is very, very important to how we all survive. We wouldn't survive without great acts of generosity. We wouldn't have been educated. We wouldn't have clothes on our backs. We wouldn't have food in our table if on some level people weren't being generous with their time, with their care. To also notice the timing. Like, sometimes our timings are off on the giving. And so to just kind of notice that even when you're receiving something, it might have been really valuable last week, but not so much this week. But can you receive it from the heart? Can you receive the fact that that person thought of you, cared enough, paid attention? Let's say it's a material thing. Found the material thing and made the effort to bring it to you. Can you pay attention to that? And here's what we already talked about. Can you pay attention do it without denying its importance? Like, sometimes you get a very valuable gift and you feel like, oh, I'm not worthy of this gift. I can't accept it. However that played out, can you just acknowledge how important that gift is, both to yourself and to whatever reason that person has given you that gift? And of course, from the heart. Always, always, always from the heart. But now we want to do it with our mind as well. We want to do it with respect. So I would say respect is to see again the deeper meaning of the struggle that was there that gave you the gift. Maybe you don't know the particular story, but can you receive it and know that there was some struggle of that person's heart for your benefit? Can you receive that? I often think that receiving is sometimes harder than the giving for some people. And then uphold the wisdom of the act. This is a sacred act, generosity. Can you treat it? Can you uphold that as a practice of virtue? That you're participating in and dancing with and connecting to something ancient, something old, something sacred. So Francis Assisi says, it is in the giving that we learn to receive. And when we learn to receive, we can connect to the abundance of our life. We can live in a place of abundance and not the scarcity. And in that place of abundance, we give a vast gift to people who are suffering, who are struggling, who don't connect and can't right now. Doesn't mean they won't later or tomorrow, but they really could benefit. That act in itself is generosity. And then to kind of leave us, I'd like to just read, since everything is impermanent, we think we own this land, or we think we own our house, or we think we own our bodies even. But the truth is, we don't own one single thing. Not one single thing. Not even your body. Because everything is arising, is here, and is dropping away. Everything you view as being in your possession is really only something for you to take care of. We take care of it. We take care of our body. We take care of our energy. We take care of our homes. Just like the man who took care of the goat. Your money, your family heirlooms, your children, your home, your friends. If you think of these things as just something for you to take care of and to learn from as a teaching, it is not so hard to let go. And when you are ready, generosity teaches us the gift of life. So that's my talk. Thank you. Do we have time for questions or comments?
Thank you for a wonderful talk.
Aww.
As always, apparently very simple, and in actuality very profound.
Yes.
I mean, endlessly, boundlessly profound. So thank you for that. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
And just the thought, I think that generosity, it's very easy for us, perhaps as Minnesotans particularly, to confuse generous behavior or loving behavior that is giving with pleasing behavior, you know?
Oh, yes.
And I think that...
Oh, yes.
I think I can say this because originally I'm from Chicago. But I think that, in fact, more properly, it is authentic behavior.
Right.
I think that it, by and large, tends to be pleasing because people sense our natural wish and intention to connect with them and to honor our existential unity with them. They feel that, and that is very pleasing. And we're just very naturally, we say it with a smile and we're kind. But, you know, there are also alternate forms of generous.
Well, behavior. I wouldn't actually call that generous. If it's as you described, pleasing somebody, like when you're, if you are giving up on of yourself, it's kind of like codependent behavior, in other words, to curry favor in some ways. That's what I heard you say.
Yeah, that's not what I was saying. I don't believe it.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
That we get that confused.
Yes, it is very easy to confuse it.
Yes. And
because it's very subtly ego-enhancing for us.
Exactly right.
So that I think that, you know, that the more proper interpretation then of generosity is authenticity. And if we're authentically from our heart, that is to say, wanting to connect and share our lives with another, share the life of what in Buddhism we call the Dharma, or the you know, boundless body of the Buddha, then we speak authentically and we act authentically. So I'm just thinking of of last year at this time I was completely out of money and I went scraped together my last few hundred dollars and went out to Montana on a Greyhound bus. God help me. to go visit my brother, and we had a wonderful time. He's a couple years younger than I am, and I've always been sort of, by default, I think, sort of the somewhat dominant character in our relationship. And so I think he's always felt he's been living in my shadow. Part of this is my fault. Part of it is just the accident of birth, I think. So as I'm getting ready to come back to Minnesota, I am barely scraping by, and I can sense financially, and I can sense that he has figured this out. Now, I don't want to admit it. In retrospect, it's because I want to maintain my position as the self-sufficient big brother, continue to cast the shadow in which he lives in. Mm-hmm. So he drives me out to the Jefferson Line station in Bozeman there, and as we pull up, he pulls out $100 out of his wallet and says, "Here, I think you're going to need this." And I said, "Of course, having lived in Minnesota for a few years now and having gotten the joke," I said, "Well, no, I am not worthy." And he looked at me and he got really PO'd, I could tell, and he said, "Who made you so special that you're not willing to take this?" I said, "Okay, you win." And our relationship has been really much better since then. And I think his authenticity was what helped me, which involved a certain amount of anger and disappointment, that I was being at that point so prideful as to deny a gift.
Thank you for the story.
Sometimes generosity is intangible.
Do you want to say more about that, Kathleen?
Sometimes it's kind words.
Oh, yeah.
Or sometimes it's just nonverbal, empathic touching, just a touch to connect a heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes, for some people, that's really hard to offer that generosity.
Yeah. You start where you are. Start practicing where you are. Be careful, be conscious of that place where you want to practice, where it's not too much and not too little, where it's fruitful. I'll get to you in a second. Yes?
I've been working on practicing with generosity at the stoplights outside of I-94, where there are always people needing money, wanting money. And I used to drive and just avoid eye contact and just wait for the light to change and then go. And recently I've started having just a couple of bucks in the car available for those moments, and opening the window and calling them over and handing them the money and smiling. And I was surprised when I started doing it how good it felt. Just that the connection with another human being who is totally someone I would not otherwise connect with. There's no arena in my life where I would connect with them, but this moment I can connect with them, and it feels good. And I'm also, as I'm doing it, if I have sort of off feelings, I try to analyze those afterwards, sort of sit with those and see, just. So for me, this is a practice that I'm doing, and it's very interesting to me.
I like that you figured out a conscious way, arena, in which to do the practice of generosity that fit you. I know in Norm's book on generosity, what was the book
you bought? Things Could Be Otherwise.
Things Could Be Otherwise.
The World Could Be Otherwise.
The world could be otherwise. He does a chapter on generosity, and he does a whole bunch of practices that he kind of sets up. to do that. I just want to say one thing about that story is one time I was in the grocery store with Tomoy-san. And someone came up and asked me money, and I gave it to her. And she walked away, and Tomoy said, "Did you just give that person money?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, you know, I don't know what she said exactly, but it was how I heard it was, well, you know, they buy drugs with that money and alcohol." And it was kind of like, well, they know better what they need the money for than I.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to let go.
You have to let go of your expectation after giving the gift. Just a minute. Yeah?
Thank you so much for your beautiful talk.
Oh, thank you, Shigan.
I especially appreciate the part about the story about the goats, because I started working on a farm this month, and so I'm working with a lot of goats and eggs and chickens, and the pigs especially I'm getting to really love. And they're like, there's a deadline, like they're gonna be slaughtered in October, I think, and meanwhile we're feeding and watering them, making sure they're like doing well and like feeling happy, and so I just appreciate that. But I wanted to share about an experience of generosity that I had yesterday. A friend came to visit me on the farm, and I drove us out to like a coffee shop, and like we went to an antique store, and that was the first time that I'd given this friend a ride, because I only got a car for the farm recently. And this is someone I've been friends with for the past 3 years, and they've driven me like all kinds of places. They're like one of my few car friends. So they just constantly, it felt like, gave me the gift of like, I can go all the way out to St. Paul and pick you up and take you back to Minneapolis to an event, or to like temple for a Jewish holiday or something like important. And it felt so good to be able to drive them places, and they enjoyed that, and we talked about it a little bit, and it was really cool, because it wasn't like, it wasn't like a transaction. It wasn't like, you drove me 5 times, so I have to drive you to like this amount, so we can like barter and make it like monetarily equal or whatever. It was just they've given me that gift over and over, and in doing that have accepted the gift of me receiving their gift. And then being able to reciprocate in a very tangible way is really cool.
It's a mutual thing. It's a mutual interaction.
And it's really the gift of sharing time together and sharing resources, which is kind of radical.
Yes.
To be like, I have access to a car, and yes, I will go out of my way to give you access to this car that is not ultimately permanently mine. It's just something I happen to have access to. It's really, I appreciate thinking about it in a sort of alternate economy kind of way, too.
Yeah, really, all of us have certain gifts that we just have that we can share with people who don't have them at any time. So I appreciate that story.
And like, when people don't have them.
Yes.
Not sort of people who don't have and people who have, but people who step in and out of different access.
Yeah, you start to watch it. It's a beautiful, beautiful dance. So I agree. Okay.